Station KAYT. Gina Alexandria.
88.1. I tried everything that I could in my life for this world.
Radio serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the Media Ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Berner at 1210 MW Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Berner.
God made you a promise, coming from a mighty long way. See, he had to reach way down, but he picked me up, and he turned my life around, and he placed my feet on solid ground. And the things that he did for me, he will do the same for you. He can give you that new job, he can give you a new home, he'll give you a new walk, he can give you a new talk. I say God is a good God. I say God is a good God. It's your season. It's your season. It's your season. It's your season.
Believe it's your season to be blessed. Oh, come on. Y'all, I wish I could moonwalk. I'd moonwalk on into my season. But since I can't moonwalk, I ought to try it. But come on. Come on. Come on. Let me see you walk into your season. Come on. By faith, we're going to march on into our season. My season of blessing. My season of healing. My season of prosperity. Come on, get on your feet and walk. Come on. Come on. And we're waiting on our choir. I promised them that I would give them time to come down. Amen. I appreciate our choir. Let's thank God for our choir, and let's thank God for Sister Porsche, who's filling in for her sister, and she's doing a fine job. Amen. God bless you, choir. As y'all come on down now, I know y'all ain't taking your robes back. Just come on. Come on and do your robes like you normally do after service. Amen. Bless you, Lord.
Free to all.
Yes, Lord.
God is in the stream.
Oh, and it flows.
From there is my
Let me hear everybody say, in the cross.
In thy cross.
Genesis chapter 45, verses 1 through 11. Amen. Thank you, Brother Cutright. There you will find these words. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty." Amen. For just a few moments this morning, I want you to prayerfully think with me in terms of a subject. Your failure is not final. Your failure is not final. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, ushers. Amen. Your failure is not final. It is a peculiar situation having to stand face to face with failure. This is where we find the 11 brothers of Joseph in Genesis chapter 45. They are forced to come face to face with the worst mistake of their lives. And in our text, these brothers are reunited with their baby brother Joseph, who years before they beat up and sold into slavery. They had been jealous of Joseph for so long that one day they let their envy get the best of them, and they attacked Joseph, threw him in a pit, and then sold him into slavery in Egypt for 20 pieces of silver. Now, you Bible readers know that Joseph is considered to be an archetype of Christ. He is considered to be like Christ. There are so many similarities between the life of Joseph and the life of Christ. You Bible readers will also note that this is perhaps the longest narrative of anybody in the scripture other than Jesus. The longest story in the Bible about any single person other than Christ is this story of Joseph. And so his brothers sold him into slavery in Egypt for 20 pieces of silver. Then after that, they went home and lied to their father and told him that Joseph had been attacked by a wild animal. It was a terrible mistake, and I'm sure that as the years passed, they tried to put this shameful act in the recesses of their memory, until one day famine showed up in the land of Canaan. Their family had run out of food, and so now they have to travel to Egypt, because in Egypt is their only hope of any food and ultimate survival. They make the journey never expecting to see the brother that they sold into slavery those many years ago. But to their shock and chagrin, when it comes time to purchase grain and wheat for their survival, they run into their baby brother Joseph. Not as a slave, but they meet Joseph, and he's now second in command to Pharaoh himself. They meet their baby brother only to find out that he's running the show, that he is large and in charge. And it really makes sense, because when you study the Bible, you discover that God has a way of elevating the people that we like to humiliate. Do I have a witness today? And so the story goes, and we discover that the brothers are shocked to see Joseph, and Joseph is shocked to see them. But for some reason, Joseph doesn't ridicule them. He's not anxious to get revenge on them. Instead, Joseph gives them the greatest gift they could have ever asked for. Joseph gives them forgiveness, grace, and mercy. He says, "You shall live in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me. You shall come out of your place of pain into paradise." You Bible readers, if you studied that out, you know that Goshen is said to have been called the best of the land. So Joseph doesn't send his brothers to some desolate desert place. He sends them in a time of famine in their homeland to a land that is said to have been good for grazing and cultivation. Now, y'all, I could spend this whole sermon talking about how successful Joseph had become. I could talk about Joseph's survival skills. I could talk about his amazing comeback. I could talk about his radical ability to forgive. There's so much we could say about Joseph. But I think it might be more productive for us to, instead of looking at Joseph, the success story, to look at his brothers, the obvious failures in this story. As a matter of fact, we learn our greatest lesson from not the main character, but rather from these 11 brothers who have messed up in an extraordinary way. Genesis 45 has more to do with failure than it does forgiveness, because the reality is there is one brother who is struggling with forgiveness, but there are 11 brothers who are struggling with failure. And y'all, that's a very critical word for us as we read the Bible and attempt to position ourselves within the context of one biblical character or another, when we try to determine which characters in the Bible best speak to our own personal situations. One preacher said that everybody reads the Bible thinking they're Jesus. But the truth of the matter is, there are more of us who are like Peter than Jesus. You Bible readers know Peter would cuss you out and cut your ear off. Can I get a witness today? There are more of us like Judas, who would smile in your face, break bread with you, but stab you in the back. Do I have a witness today? There are more of us who are like Zacchaeus and the woman with the issue of blood than like Jesus. And the truth is, we like to choose which biblical character we see our reflections in. But when we do that, many times we miss the deeper message of the sacred stories, because on one level, I might be familiar with and choose to identify with Joseph's struggle to forgive. But then in some situations, I realize that I have two or three of those brothers living in me. Am I by myself? Amen. I might not be the Joseph who is struggling to forgive, but I might be the brother who's struggling with the failure of my wrongdoing. But the good news today, I said the good news today, for all of us who are willing to admit that we messed up along the way, those of us who are willing to admit that we've dropped the ball and hurt some people along the way, the good news is that even in the midst of our failure, God will give you Goshen. Somebody ought to say, "Lord, I thank you." Somebody just missed their shout because you thought that your failure would lead to your punishment, but it is actually about to lead to your blessing. And after everything you've messed up, God has a gift for you that is greater than anything you could imagine or think. Y'all, I'm so glad that I serve a God who specializes in flipping the script. When I do my worst, come on, God gives me his best. When I make a mess, God turns that mess into a miracle. When I drop the ball, God puts the broken pieces of my situation back together again. Is there anybody here who's glad that God does not keep you at the misery of your mistakes, but God lifts you to new heights of liberty? God gives you a fresh new start. God gives you a fresh new start in a new place with a renewed hope. And we can thank God this morning because God is always busy reversing our expectations. I know that I messed up. I thought that the worst was on the way, but God gave me Goshen instead. At the opening of our text, we're made aware of Joseph's tears and his shock, but we can only imagine the fear and trembling of his brothers. They get to Egypt and they realize that Joseph is positioned exactly where he needs to be in order to punish them and make everything in between them evil. Y'all see it, don't you? And I'm sure that before Joseph opened his mouth and began to speak, his brothers were thinking about all of the terrible things he could do to them. Because when we come face to face with our failures, with our worst mistakes, there usually are expectations that we bring to the table. You know how we do. We start imagining our punishment. We start listing the consequences we're going to have to experience. When we come to terms with all of the ugliness of ourselves, it is in that very moment that God gives us Goshen. The brothers were preparing for Joseph to respond in a worst-case scenario because they knew within their hearts that they had treated their brother badly, but none of that happens. Joseph doesn't punish them. Joseph doesn't ridicule them. Joseph is standing in front of a group of 11 failures who deserve to pay the price for their mistake, but Joseph says, I'm not going to punish you. I'm going to promote you. You're going to live in the land of Goshen. Well, let me find you on your road, because somebody here this morning has spent so much time rehearsing the history of your mistakes. And y'all know there's some folk that have helped you reverse the history of your mistakes. And you've spent so much time rehearsing the history of your mistakes that you have failed to imagine the possibility that God has better for you on the other side of your pain. We train ourselves to see and expect the worst instead of seeing the infinite possibilities that heaven has waiting on us. So when the time comes to meet our Joseph, when the time comes to face our failures, we have all of these crazy ideas about what we think we deserve. We think we deserve revenge and retribution. And can I tell you something? When we project our punishment, it says less about the people we've hurt than it does about us. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that whenever you dictate your consequences, you're telling yourself what you would do if you were in Joseph's shoes. Oh, I know I got a witness today. Do I have a witness today? Amen, 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 amen. Because what you're really saying is that if I were Joseph, I'd rip them to shreds after what they did to me. Come on, do I have a witness? Amen. I would give them a piece of my mind. Do I have a witness today? If I were Joseph, but Joseph doesn't curse them out. Joseph blesses them. And what we have to understand is that as long as we anticipate the consequences of our mistakes, we handicap our ability to move forward. There are a lot of people who are missing out on the beauty of life because you're constantly whipping yourself for mistakes you've made, and some you haven't even made yet, and some you will never make. Instead of walking in the freedom of abundant life, you're constantly living in a state of condemnation because of mistakes you could potentially make. Now, I'm not saying that you ought not be concerned about possibly sinning, but you ought not allow the possibility of sinning to keep you from being an effective instrument for the kingdom of God. That's why he went to the cross. That's why he died. Because God already knows you's going to slip. He knows we're going to mess up. He knows we're going to make mistakes. But what the devil will do, he will come in and remind you of mistakes you've made in the past and tell you that's why you don't need to be in the choir. Oh no, you know what you did, amen, last year, and you know the possibility exists that you might do it again. That's why a lot of times preachers, amen, wait years and years before they accept their calling to preach, because the devil is an expert at reminding you of what you used to do and where you used to go. And don't you get up there knowing what you've done. But is there anybody here glad to know that we serve a Savior who was willing to go to a cross and die for our sins, die for our shortcomings, die for our mistakes, so that we could serve him? Genesis 45 is here to teach us that God is more interested in you reaching your promised land than your punishment. And that's because he's a God of love. Tell your neighbor, he's a God of love. So y'all, I need you to understand that I am a Christian not because I want God to bless me with creature comforts. He'll do that. That's not why I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian not because I believe that God is going to bless me with cars, clothes, and cash. He will do that. But that's not why I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian because I want to know, in a very personal and intimate way, this God who is willing to look beyond my faults and see my needs. I'm a Christian because I want to know him in a very real way. I want to know this God who, in spite of my faults, in spite of my failures, he's still willing to guide me into my destiny and into my promised land. The 103rd Psalm says that God does not treat us as our sins deserve. Can I tell you why? That's because he's a God of love. God recognizes that where I started doesn't have to be where I finish.
We at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church hope that Reverend Garner's message blessed and revived your spirit. Thank you for listening, and be sure and join us in Leesville for our regularly scheduled Sunday and midweek services. If you'd like a copy of this message, phone us at 337-238-1779. The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, the place where God blesses his people.
KAYT, Lake Charles.